Harold, you must have many questions you want to ask Libby.
Yeah, okay. I'll start with an easy one.
What's easy for you isn't easy for me.
You're so right. I don't know exactly how to pronounce Velasquez. Is that correct?
Velasquez.
Say that? Velasquez. Wasn't that Sam's
idol?
Idol, right.
Yeah. When he was 13.
That's what I understand. And Rembrandt, too.
Right? Oh, yeah. But Velasquez he loved. And that's when we went to Europe, to Spain. He knew where every Velasquez that had ever been painted was. And he would have liked the next trip to go, even that trip he would have liked to go to Austria, where they have some very wonderful Velasquez. And that was his last period that Sam was very interested in his light. And he never lost interest in Velasquez.
What country was he from?
Spain.
And Koblenz.
Koblenz. That Koblenz. Was the man that I think taught them at the Columbia Council. I think that was how he got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some letters, as I said, I think some of them are 1911 and 1915. And the other day I was trying to put things in order, and I lost track of where I'd read a little bit from some of the letters. It was very, very interesting.
So was Coburn an influence on him, too?
He was a very good, definite, strong man. Of course, he was from the old times. There was no modern art then.
Realism, is that what you mean?
No, I mean...
How did he paint in that period?
Well, he painted very much like Velasquez. He tried to paint or like some of the old times. They were his gods.
I noticed when we talked about George Bellows, we didn't describe who he was, that he was a famous painter in his
time, right? Yes.
And did he specialize only in painting fight scenes like Firpo?
He didn't.
What else did he paint?
He painted, I guess you'd call this thing genre paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Just painted the life around him.
In New York?
Yes.
Mostly the seamy side of New York, is that true?
Well,
like the Hill District in Pittsburgh, he would paint that kind
of thing.
Well,
there was a whole group of them that did that.
Mm-hmm. So his paintings are shown pretty much, too. I mean, he's still recognized, right?
Oh, yeah, for what he was.
Yeah.
For the time he lived in.
I have a quote here someone made about Sam, and it said, "I work on many paintings at the same time." Would you like to tell us how he did that?
Well, he sometimes did that, but that wasn't early in his life. That was toward the end. And he put the canvases up, and he'd work on one for days at a time, and then he'd get stopped, or he'd be so anxious, especially after he was beginning to be bothered with his heart. Now I'm really knowing what I'm doing. Now, after all these years, and he couldn't wait to get to his campus. The one in the studio was the last one he was working on.
Oh, really? Let's talk about the studios, because you took us through it. Murray Levine, your friend, the architect, right?
Yes.
Redid the garage.
Right.
Would you tell us how long did it take him?
Oh, I don't remember. But he, it was a little garage because most garages were small, cars were smaller.
Yeah.
And he took out one complete wall and then extended the garage about 5 or 6 feet on the north side, which is favorite of painters because the sun doesn't come and change the color. And the color is more permanent. you know, stays the same. And the sun doesn't come in that side. And then from the, that was the north side. Mm-hmm. Perfect light for a studio. Now the east side, this is the east. There was a window, and the sun used to come in the east. So Sam took a piece of beaver board or composition board, mm-hmm. and he just cut the window off. But Murray extended that whole wall, and he had frosted glass so that the people from outside wouldn't have the outside distractions.
Right. Well, Murray Levine, I understood, founded, is it? Or a scholarship?
Endowed.
Endowed. See, you're better than I am.
That's not the right word either, by the way.
Would you give us some details about it?
Well, we just knew that a man told us that he heard that when he did that, Sam was gone. He did that in his memory.
I see.
And it was for the senior student who showed the most promise.
Mm-hmm.
And every year they award that.
Okay. You mentioned a while ago that when you were in Paris, you were at the Louvre, and you saw the Winged Victory at the head of the stairway. That's the original, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know.
Yes, how do you compare it with the Winged Victory at our museum, which is at the head of the stairway, too?
Well, you know, I think, is ours in marble or in
plaster? No, it's plaster.
Well, you know,
there's a big difference.
You answered yourself.
Right, okay. Well, I got it on the record, because I once drew it, so I remember it.
I hope it was the Winged Victory, but I'm sorry.
She has no head. Right? Her wings come out and she's headless. I would like you to discuss what the magazine, remember that big article in Esquire?
Yes.
When, I think that was the one that discussed when Sam did a painting of some fruit he had seen. Mm-hmm. But when he painted it, you couldn't find the fruit. He just painted the color. Do you remember that incident?
There may have been many. I don't know which one you're referring to.
Well, I don't have to.
Well, most of his fruit paintings are very
abstract.
No, most of them are very true. He did a lot of fruit markets.
Uh-huh.
He loved to go down to the markets down at the wharf.
Yeah.
They don't have that anymore.
Oh,
he could take his students down there. He'd go down there at night.
Mm-hmm.
He painted at night, in the daytime, and the fruit and vegetables looked very real. Now, let me see. There was one of the fruit market at corner Logan and Clark,
mm-hmm.
and who bought it first? Oh, Ivan Hass bought that, and then recently I heard that he sold it to the Dr. Aaron first name? Kessler, the brain surgeon. Lay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think they have it now.
The one that was mentioned, probably not in that article, was titled Fruit in the Evening Light.
Yes.
Now he's done so many paintings.
Yes.
That was the one done in the abstract, I was told.
I don't know, there are many of them.
Many. Right here, you can talk about this. At his Greensburg exhibition in 1960, there were 116 of his canvases on exhibit. And 64 of them were loaned. Do you remember that exhibit?
Oh, I remember it very clearly, but I don't remember the details. I have that all, I guess, in the records and in the catalog.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful show.
That was a big show. And
the whole museum was turned over to
him. Yes. And in his lifetime, I understand he had over 20 one-man shows, that in itself.
I think more than that. Here's a list of them. Mm-hmm. And
1965,
he didn't die
till
72. Right. So there were two, one in 65 and one 66. That was the Invited Honored Artist, mm-hmm. Associated Artists of Pittsburgh. Then posthumously, there was a memorial exhibition in the Hewlett Gallery, and they held services for Sam. I didn't have any. And they were memorial services. And then in Switzerland there was a selected drawings in 1974. The memorial was in 72. Mm-hmm. And the one in Switzerland, selected drawings from seven decades.
Wow.
In the Cannell Gallery, Switzerland Academy. And that was a very beautiful show too, but they had hanging out in,
right.
Well, they had, this is a very nice show.
So it was well over 30 one man shows.
No, not well over 30.
It was any?
No, I don't think there were 30.
What about the Armory show? You touched on that lightly. Was that the Armory in Pittsburgh?
No, that
Armory?
Was a great turning point in art. I think it was 1913, but I wouldn't want to put it in the record if it's not. But that was a very great show. That was when the French began this innovative things and everything.
Where was that held then?
In the Armory in New York.
Oh, in New York. That's what I didn't know. In New York. New York City, evidently, right?
I gave 10 boxes of painting of catalogs, books. And catalogs to a place in Pittsburgh, and I found that I made a mistake. I was sorting them, and I had one box for things to give and one to be sure and keep, and somehow or other this was a copy of the original catalog that was printed for the Armory show, which was priceless. And I found that I'd given that to them. The next day I called them and it was gone.
How about that?
They sold it.
Well, his works were shown in every major art center in the U.S.
I think there were a few that he
wasn't. I'm quoting. Including Museum of Modern Art, National Academy, the Whitney. These are all the top places. Can you think of any others? Anything out west? The West then didn't have so many galleries, did they? Like they do today.
Well, they do. They do. He had one at the World's Fair in San Francisco.
Well.
That's reproduced time and time again. And I think that now the museum owns it.
I see.
Street by the Mill, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one-man exhibitions were held in Associated Artists, New York, Bucknell University, University of Tennessee, Boston Museum School, Butler Art Institute, Cheltenham, that's outside of Philadelphia, Art Center, Cleveland Jewish Community Center, State Teachers College, Indiana, PA, Carnegie Museum of Art, several, Brooklyn, Hewlett Gallery, Baltimore Museum of Art, Westmoreland County Museum of Art, Pittsburgh paying for our Congressman Moorhead's offices in the House building, Oxford, Ohio, Miami University.
That's good. I mean, that's good.
That's not as great as it should have been. That if he'd had a gallery director,
right,
or as the people thought I was,
yeah,
he should have had more places.
Well, in other words, you're saying he didn't have a professional paid distributor.
Yes, you pay you get a gallery,
mm-hmm,
and they take you on, and each has his own,
right,
exchange. Some gallery owners in New York will subsidize an artist,
mm-hmm,
till he gets going. They can tell which ones are going to. And they, then they get certain paintings
first
for a while to get started.
Right.
Get them because he subsidized them.
Right. Yeah, that's become big business, hasn't
it? That is a big business, that is.
Yeah.
And you can't expect, sometimes an artist is, quote, discovered, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about a lot of things that Sam has done. What impresses me is what was called his memory paintings. Now, see if you can remember one. In other words, I don't know if I understand it right. He would go observe something, as Bellows would go and see a boxing match, but he would go home and paint it. So he had to carry it in his mind. Now, how did Sam handle that?
Well, the same way. The same way. Sometimes, and he taught that.
I see.
He taught it. He'd have a model for them, and then the model would leave, and then they had to paint.
They had to remember.
Or they had to go down to the market, you know.
Yes.
They had assignments that had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he counted on that very much. He thought that was very important. He felt that you remembered the important thing.
Right. Well, that's a good skill to develop. And he taught that, which is very good for his students.
He did one painting of a religious group. It was a church. I think there was an old mattress factory on, I don't know what the name of the street is.
South Side?
No, right down in the Hill District.
Oh.
And a friend of ours had a drugstore, a pharmacy,
mm-hmm,
in that area. And he told Sam about it. And these were a group, I think they were called the Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday night, just before twilight, they would march. And it's called God's Children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very much reproduced in many places. And Greensburg bought that fairly recently. I don't know whether they bought it after Sam died or before. I think before. And it's these people, and the women had white dresses on, and in the front is a big, heavy woman, and she was beating the drum, and the little boy was walking in front of her, and she was resting the drum on his back.
Mm-hmm. That's a scene.
So Greensburg has that, and that was widely reproduced. It was in the Whitney Museum, and I think they had it. I know they had it reproduced in their gallery, God's Children.
Mm-hmm.
And many private people wanted to buy it, but he wouldn't let them. Because he had a feeling that some of these people were laughing at it, you know, something cute.
Yeah.
Because there were some amusing things about it, but he was very, very unbiased as far as black people were concerned. They were in many of his paintings of the deal. Somebody said, why do you always put black people in your
said, because they're there. Right. What is your opinion or your feelings about the Westmoreland Museum up in Greensburg, right?
Oh, it's a very fine little museum.
Does it have a good reputation?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
the same man that was there when it was founded is still there. They like him very much.
Mm-hmm.
The neighborhood likes him. And he did a magnificent job with Sam's exhibition there. Mm-hmm. Magnificent.
It's a beautiful building, too.
Yes.
Two floors, isn't it? Or more?
No, I think two.
Two, yeah. Just perfect for what they use it for, which is for exhibitions, right?
Yeah, they have concerts there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Movies there.
Mm-hmm. I've only been to the art shows.
It's very much community man.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Of course, it's a local thing, and things are local. Aren't as appreciated as New York or other places.
What we haven't talked about was, and I don't know if you care to talk about it, you can tell me, Sam's illness and when it developed and how you handled it.
Well, I didn't have very much to do handling it, that's for sure. Sam, in 1928, I think it was, had a kidney removed. But that never bothered him, and he never missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the other kidney grows and fills in the space. But this heart business, the first we knew about it, we were going to a concert with chamber music. That must have been about, he died in 72, and I think this must have been about 67.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped me off, and he went to park the car. And it was a very cold night, and he might have had a little heart attack, we don't know, but you know, he had great pains, and he had a hurry, you know, we used to have to hurry to get back, get a seat before the concert started. So I think that may have been when it started, but I think my memory is a little hazy. It's so filled with emotion that I won't remember some of the details. But he did have it for 5 years, and it was a very bad one the first time. Oh, I was talking on the telephone, and he used to take a big, long walk after his painting. And he came in, and I heard him come in, and then he said, he asked me to come, but he didn't feel well. And so that's when he was having the first attack. Did you think that's necessary to put in this thing?
Well, I've read a lot of biographies. And they always describe it.
Really?
Oh, yes. I've read The Life of J.C. Penney. I think it's pertinent, don't you?
I don't know.
I know.
Anyway,
if I were reading a book about it, I'd want to know just what took place. You know, my theory...
Is that being recorded?
Yes.
Mm.
You mentioned that when both of you would go to these openings, that it was very stressful.
Yes, it was.
Is that true?
Well, particularly on him.
That's what I mean.
But he loved it.
True, but
he
see,
loved it. I didn't.
We're talking about the same thing. Stress contributes to heart ailments in the long run.
You don't mind as much when it's happy things that are doing.
Not at all. But that's a very important point. Most people think, I'm sure, that being an artist is sort of an easy job. You just paint. But it isn't that simple, is it?
Oh, he suffered very much.
That's what I mean.
One time in New York, I guess I said that. He had to stay in bed.
No, you didn't. Oh, after one of the openings, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, what was it, the part that was stressful? Being at the opening all day long?
No, you're not at the opening all day
long. Aren't you?
No.
You meet a lot of people. do you?
Yes, you meet a lot of people. Depends where it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little reception sometimes.
Right.
Serve wine. I think they don't do that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that, yeah, of course some of them didn't, but the night before it would open, he wouldn't sleep very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably what I meant by stress. That is stress.
Yes, there's a stress on all these people looking at your work.
Sure. Some artists, well, you've told us how he felt about his paintings. Were there some that he wouldn't sell under any condition that he was attached to, for example?
Well, there were some.
Paintings.
There are some now that I'm not selling.
We got
them. That have been given to children. And every time we sold a painting, we were very sad.
That's what I meant to bring out.
Well, we were very sad. The people would leave and we'd look at each other. And my son would just assume I never sold any paintings. He said, well, I didn't want to sell them. He has, I forgot to tell you about his love of art, that they had a very nice house built, and then he added to it, and what did he add? He added a whole wing, but the most important thing to him was the studio. And the lights, I think, ran into thousands of dollars. Oh, we want you to fix that.
Right.
I got the ladder ready.
Good. Okay. We've covered some nice things, I think, so far, don't you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not in a position to...
To me, they're so interesting. There are things that I never knew about Sam, and I follow the art world pretty closely. So you see, you're contributing a lot.
Well, I've given you the personal side, I guess.
True. But then his feelings, for example.
I really, really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's been called the painter laureate of Pittsburgh in that Sam Hood art.
And well, he wasn't eccentric. He was a down-to-earth, lovable person, wasn't he?
You know, he had this good, wonderful art class at the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interested in the people's paintings. And in
right.
And some of them, we found out that many... presidents of steel companies' wives were in the class, but he never knew what their husbands did.
Mm-hmm.
And that class got so welded together that they're still lifelong friends from that class.
That is the difference. That's his personality that did all that.
And Murray, on a nice letter that he wrote to the dean of the Fine Arts College after the services.
Yes.
And I'll show it to you afterwards. We can't take time enough to go up there now. I had something else I was going to tell you
about Sam's personality?
No, I can't tell you about his. He had a magic personality. One time, directors was asked by a gallery man, tell me what do you know about Sam Rosenberg?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's the most loved man in Pittsburgh.
That's it. Something to be very proud of, right?
Well, I'm proud, but I'm not ashamed.
No, indeed. Is there anything else you could say without me questioning you? Something off the top of your head.
I was thinking of something before, but it's left my mind. I warned you about that.
I have that trouble. A flash, right? And then it's gone. Yeah, well, I wish you could think of a flash now. Something. I'm looking around the room. Opposite me are two of his most wonderful paintings. And back here. I can't see. What's behind me? What is that?
That's called horizon. Oh. Names are nuisance to an artist.
Yes, tell us about that. That in itself is something. Yes. How you name a painting,
yes,
right?
Some people think you name a painting, then you paint it.
Not true.
But not with Sam.
Uh-huh.
We have terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's terrible to call a painting composition member so-and-so.
Yeah.
How can you describe it? But you have to, when the exhibit...